All right, we're going to invite you to your seats. That's a polite way of saying, please sit down. Great to see everybody this morning. Again, happy Father's Day. What a privilege to pray for our men in the house. Well, listen, we have a special treat for you today. I've received a phone call. It's a text from Rick Green of the Patriot Academy. Rick's one of our friends and brothers, and we're friends and brothers and sisters with the Patriot Academy. And he reached out to me via text and said, hey, what if, I don't know if it can even happen, and if it doesn't work for you, just say no. He's no problem. He said, but we're trying to get Victor Marks here on Saturday night, that would have been last night, to do the final filming video for the project they're doing called Rebuilding Liberty, which we're super excited about. It's kind of a new curriculum 2.0 from biblical citizenship and just another level and really talking about what we need to do now in this hour. And so, he said, would you be open to having Victor in your pulpit on Sunday morning in both services? And I have to tell you, when I don't know someone and I get a call like that, I'm kind of like, oh, thank you, but no thank you. You know, we're good. You know, that's what my daughter always said when she didn't want to do something. We're good. I'm good. But literally without hesitation, it came out of my mouth. Yeah, sure. Let's do this. And the only reason I really opened up that because Annette and I had watched a documentary by Victor and Eileen Marks, and it was titled, I love this, called The Unseen. Oh, there you are. The Unseen. How did you get in here without me seeing you? The Unseen War. And it's a phenomenal documentary. I recommend you find it, watch it, and it's powerful. It's about spiritual warfare and the real battle that we're in. I keep saying it, America doesn't have a political problem. We have a spiritual problem. And that needs to be, and that battle's fought on our knees. And it's fought in secret places and hiding places and before the throne of God. So I had seen that, we had seen that, and I became a fan. I was like, oh my gosh, love what he's doing, love what God's up to through this guy and his family. And I just began to watch some podcasts, and then I found out about a new book that he was released, or that was had just come out, called The Dangerous Gentleman. I just liked the title. I'm telling you, that I was hooked from the title. And just got the book this last week, started reading it, and I'm all in. And so I want to introduce to you Victor Marks. A couple of things about Victor Marks. I said this last week to let you know, he is Jason Bourne, John Wayne, and Chuck Norris rolled up into one dangerous gentleman. And I love it. I love it. Bring it on. But last night, though, however, he's all those things. He is that. But last night, I also saw that he has a heart and a tender spirit bigger than Dallas. And I saw his heart. It came through loud and clear. You're going to see that this morning as well. Make no mistake, he can get up in your business and take care of business. But let me tell you something. He'll do it because of love. He's driven by love. The website that they have is called All Things Possible. It's a great website, loaded with resources. But I love the opening line. When you go to the landing page, it says this: setting captives free physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's what they're about. Another thing that makes my heart happy is they're about the next generation. They're about going into dangerous places where some of us or most of us will never go, never even have an opportunity to go, and literally rescuing children out of human trafficking and sexual trade. So, yeah, praise God. Praise God. Scripture came to my mind as I was just putting this little thing together and thinking about last night. It really captures, I think, the heart of what they're doing because it's the heart of Jesus. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And God's people said, amen. If you would turn your attention to the screen, we have a video to show, and then we'll have Victor come up after that.
Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in.
Mr. Victor Marks is a man dedicated to spreading the great truth that even in the face of hate and violence, the love of God can heal even the most wounded among us. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I rise today to recognize and to commend Victor Marks and All Things Possible Ministries for the work they do to reach out and embrace traumatized individuals across this world.
Die for for this kid. I'd do anything for this kid. But forgiveness is giving up our right to hurt someone back for hurting us.
Victor Marks, you're a Christian, husband, father, grandpa, author, founder of All Things Possible Ministries.
Kids who are born in the fire won't be burned by the heat of life. Yeah, there we go. Let me put the Cajun translator on. Well, good morning. It's great to be here. And I'm thankful that, brother, you risk allowing me to come up here, and thankful for my friends, the Greens and Patriot Academy, what they do. It's a great thing that God's doing here, and I'm excited. Greetings to my bride of 36 years, and my daughters and son and dog. This is Coda. He's a 4 or 5 year old Belgian Malinois, and these are the dogs that are so sweet and calm. Coda, he kind of focuses on heavy sinners. Son, he's looking your way. I'm wondering what's going on. All right. Our dogs are, they're therapy dogs that bite. So we run 3 dogs on our teams. They've been all these places, and we're grateful. We're grateful for them. And so I'm going to get you up to... You just can never let go of the leash or they get out of control. Trust me, leashes are for people, not us. These dogs, I've walked through airports, they're just no leash. People are like, hey. have you ever heard of a fellow named Charlie Kirk? Yeah, so Charlie actually wrote the foreword to that book. And so Charlie had me at an event. We're talking about my dog. He loves dogs. And I shared with him how I was in an airport, and a young couple came up, and the girl said, "Can I pet your dog?" I said, "Sure. Yeah, thanks for asking, because it says don't pet." And so she's petting the dog. Everything's good. Then the fellow with her went to pet the dog, and I said, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." And he goes, "Why not?" I said, "Well, you know, our dogs are trained to help women and children. Not really, man." And he looked at me. And this shocked me, which I thought he was joking, but he wasn't. He said, "How dare you judge my gender?" Now, you may not have noticed, but I'm not a younger fella anymore. I'm in the older lion category. So I thought that was a joke. And I laughed. He wasn't joking. He said, and then he got louder. "You have no right to judge my gender." I'm like, "Calm down, young man." "Do you know, I get, well, man, what, man, I don't even know what you got going on here. You're painting your nails and you're not even shaving." So help me out. You look like a dude. And he's getting madder. And then people are pulling out their phones, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm stepping in it. Well, I don't. Sir, ma'am. Gee, she, my. I don't know how to do. I'm really not doing it. In my mind, I'm thinking, if you're a transvestite, you're just lazy. I mean, back in my day, they'd at least shave and get all gussied up. You know, you, well, what's wrong with your generation? Do things right. Go get some electrolysis if you're into this. But finally, I just said, hey, if you want to pet my dog, I'll let my dog decide whether you're male or female. And I just stepped back. He opted not to exercise his, her, him, them right of, oh my, sashayed off. Now, before you think I'm transphobic, I'm not. Because God calls me to love everybody. I do. I love everybody. I don't care how messed up they are. I've had people, that clip went viral, by the way. Super viral. Our videos on YouTube and social media were over 1 billion views. That's kind of crazy. We still get, I said, how do I make the money off of that? I don't. Ministry. Freely I receive, so I freely give. But I'll tell you what, when people try to get on me, you're trans. Oh, I said, am I? Yeah, because you know how people, they judge you with such certainty. And all you have to ask them is, why do you think? Why? How do you speak with such authority. And yet you don't even know me. And, you know, a couple times I pulled on my phone, I said, have you ever heard of someone named Caitlyn Jenner? Who used formerly Bruce Jenner? They're like, of course. I go, we text all the time. That's my get out of trans jail card right there. Then they're like, I guess you're okay. He actually texted, we were texting yesterday because he was in Israel. And then I'm like, hey, man, if you need a QRF, I got access to a team there. If something goes sideways, we'll get you. And, you know, and he sends me a picture of him. It's an AI picture of him with a in a uniform with a helmet like a soldier. I'm like, seriously? The lipstick don't match. Come on, man, get it right. But I first met him at Mar-a-Lago where I was speaking. And then he saw my dog. Remember? And then we got on a boat to meet people. Boat, people. I love ministry. It's just people. People. And we spent about an hour. And he poured out his heart. Tears and everything. And since, well, I mean, we met again and stay in contact. But he's like, I like talking to you. Hey, well, I like talking to you. Big old woman. And he said, Victor, Bruce is still in here. I said, I know he is. Because that's who I talk to. You never know people's background or what they struggle with or whatever. Don't let the forward-facing thing ever throw you off. I don't care what it is. You know what I've had to learn in my life is people aren't our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And it was a hard lesson for me because early on I just hated everybody. Because I saw some not good things as a kid growing up. And it's funny, whenever I speak on Father's Day at a church, I always go, well, Lord, you're going to do something. And I told Pastor, I had my notes ready this morning. Two sets. Everything okay, honey? What do you want to do? Oh, you were going to sneeze. Okay, don't. You look at me like, I'm like, what? I don't know what's going on. Honey, I watch you. Don't worry, I'm still the man of my house. Right? Okay. Well, let me just start there. Married 36 years, 5 children, 5 grandkids. And the fact that I'm married is a pretty big miracle. It's and I've never cheated. I've been cheated on. Why'd y'all get so quiet? Do y'all know that kids in high school, when I speak to kids and I say that, do you know what public high schools do? They applaud. They're stunned as y'all, but they're like, and I always go, why are y'all clapping? I say, because it's big enough for your hearts, young people, and that's what you want. But in a church, people get real quiet. See, when I met her, she was a brand new Christian. And I was seasoned by like 6 months. I've always held that hierarchy of, yes, yeah, follow my way. And but yet her faith has been unbelievably strong. Shore me up, keep me going. I have to tell you what, ladies, please don't believe the lie that your influence on your husband is less than it really is. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And women walk around believing that lie. And then you feel like, well, I can't, you know, and then all of a sudden you go from being influential, powerful, to nagging. Again, quiet. I sense conviction. The force is strong in this room right now. No, think about it. Does nagging actually really work? Not so much. But your influence and your ability to pray for your husband will. Don't look for instant stuff. But it works. There have been times we would just, we've been separated twice in 36 years. And both times, I was wrong. That's actually not the punchline. I always go. And both times she realized she was wrong. You see how I'm growing? See how I'm... Mainly out of fear, just kind of fear answers. but what was I talking about? Praying, influence. Ladies, I'm gonna give you a secret sauce. One of the most powerful statements my wife has ever made to me in 36 years to get me to move in the right direction. Do you want to know what it is? Are you sure? Yeah. If it works, you better go make a donation at my website. I've had men come up afterwards when I talk about intimacy and motivate the wives. They're like, I'm making a donation to your ministry, sir. I'm like, thank you. But ladies, instead of nagging and running and all the and all that, you know, my wife says to me when I mess up, when I fall short, she just looks at me with love and says, babe, lead me better than that. That makes me go, I will. I will. Because she's telling me, you're better than that. You can leave me. And then, man, it makes me want to fight dragons, swim oceans, climb mountains, and hunt bad people. Save children, which I have because of her. Daughter, stop texting in church. I love picking on my kids. You guys, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is death. And so I have the privilege of speaking in churches all over the country. So I know what's really going on. We have a huge following, so people contact us. We know what really goes on in households, the struggles. So many times for people to come to church, it's just an act of faith. Because you're like, how can I get it to work at home or at work or with my kids or what? And I'm telling you, you just don't give up. Keep pressing through. The enemy hates marriages more than anything. And not all marriages work out. I know that. Some should not. Remember, I was on staff at a church when I was a brand new Christian. And I was just getting out of the Marine Corps. And they brought me on staff because they thought, wow, you're pretty zealous, Victor. We should disciple you. And I said, okay. They gave me an office, pulpit commentary. I started studying. I started learning. Everything's great. And then they wanted me to counsel people, marriages. I'm like, I'm not even married. But I found out I was not a counselor. You know why? Because this fella cheated on his wife, doing drugs, all that, and he came into the church, and he's like, I need help. I messed up. So I took him in the office, and I'm like, oh, okay, well. I said, okay, well, you're a Christian. Yeah. Well, you should repent and then, you know, not do that because that's really bad on marriages. And that's kind of what I know. And then he's like, can you help me get together with my wife? I'm like, yeah. Because if she just forgives me, and I'm like, okay. So I call her. She takes him back. And then I felt good. I was like, all right, restoration. Yeah. And then a few months later, he's coming to church again. Oh, I messed up again. And I'm like, oh, are you repentive? You don't really look repentive. And I get them back together again. Third time, the wife called me. She said, Victor, he's high, he's out of control, he's violent, and he just hit our toddler and punched her against the wall. What do I do? Well, I just put the Christianity thing on the side. I'm like, well, I'm not good. I'm more comfortable just being a Marine. I said, you call the police right now and an ambulance for your child. She said, if he comes there, I just wanted you to know. I said, oh, I'll be waiting. Guess who came to the church? And he saw me, and he did this number. He was going to go find another pastor. I did a little intercept. I said, oh, I got this. How you doing, brother? Let's go to the office. This time when we walked in my office, I had him sit at my desk, and I sat by the door. I said, what's going on? You look distressed. I mean, he's sweating from being high, and he's like, oh, I don't messed up again. Oh, rah, 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 rah. I said, yeah, I know your wife called me. And he goes, she did? I said, yep. She told me you hit your toddler, punched a child. I said, man, I got grace for a lot of stuff, not hurting women or children. I'll just talk to you like a man. And then he was like, I don't. Oh, he starts crying. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe I should get hit. I said, I agree. I'm not good at a lot of things, but conflict and physical confrontation, I am very comfortable. So I went over there and started beating the fire out of him. He's like standing up trying to fight. I see him get him on the ground. Wham! I'll say he's screaming like, you know, of course. Tough guys always scream. Tough guys that hit women and children, they're tough till they meet a man. And all of a sudden the door flies open. It's the associate pastor. Victor, Victor. And I'm like, I'm counseling. He's like, oh my gosh. He said, Victor, come see for a minute. I'm like, and the guy screamed, call the police. He's in the room. I'm like, shut up. I get up. I walk out there. Again, I'm very comfortable. I'm like, yes. He goes, this is a wise dude. He goes, Victor, when people come in for counseling, we don't hit them. And because I know a lot about law, I said, oh, I understand that, but don't worry. We have a waiver because he said he should get hit. So that should hold up in court when police come. He said he should be hit. And doesn't the Bible say something about like laying on hands and that we're exercising? That he's like, he was looking at me like, boy, you are dumb as a bag of rocks. And I was like, he goes, let me finish this. And I'm still like, you probably could. I soft him up. He's like, go that way. And I never forget, the guy's still screaming, and I got to walk down the hall, and all the pastor's offices are there, so I'm kind of like, and then every pastor was at the door. Did you? I'm like, yeah. Next guy, I'm like, yeah. They're like, did you? I'm like, go get you some. He's still there. Man, oh my gosh, we'll just make this group therapy. It was soon after that that the pastor, lead pastor, senior pastor, said, Victor, we recognize your gifts that God has given you, and we believe they should be exercised outside of the church. Like, okay. And I opened up a karate school. So, and jiu-jitsu. But what I found, the secret to following the Lord is following him. Just being you and following him. Not anything else. Folks, it's that simple. It's when we try to follow people, follow things, follow our own desires that aren't God's, we get in trouble. Instead of just going, I'm going to follow you, Lord, but be ready for the adventure. Do you know I didn't want to become a Christian because of the men that I saw in church? I'm like, I'm okay. Man, they don't look happy. And when I finally surrendered to the Lord, he was waiting. And then he said, let me be your father. I was like, I'm pretty good with God as an almighty and a hammer, because I can live in a performance-based deal. If I do bad, you just, you know. Literally, when I got saved in 1986, June 22nd, what's today, the 18th, 15th? It's June. I'm coming up on my birthday. I'm literally at the altar. Some things happened. God kind of caught me off guard. And I realized for the first time in my life I was a sinner. Like, really knew I was a sinner. And then he loved me, which was the weirdest thing ever. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but knowing God as a father has been the hardest thing I've had to do since I've been a Christian. All these years now. And you know what? Last year, I said, Father, and mainly because I'm hanging around friends who call him Father and Daddy and Abba, and it gets silly sometimes. Papa, Abba, Abba. I'm like, what the heck? He is still God, you know. But I'm like, and I started having conversations. I'm like, do you really feel like God's a father, like dad? And they're like, yeah. I said, okay, well. I'm like, but don't you? I'm all, yeah. Kinda. And then I started asking friends. Pastors I knew, good teachers, I would call them and say, hey, do you have a teaching series on God being our father? I said, I don't really know him like that like I want to. I'm going to try to get to know him as a father. And you know what? Really good Bible teachers I know and friends, they were like, I have a, yes, this verse, and you can get that teeth. And I said, okay, but can I ask you something? Do you actually, do you know him as a father? Like, is it, like, well, you know, Victor. And I'm like, just answer the question. And they're like, well, not, I guess not really as good as I should. Oh, my gosh. You ever heard of a guy named Derek Prince? He was a pretty big theologian, superpower dude, whatever. He was in his, I think, 70s or 80s or something when he finally came to know God as his father. I was like, oh, my cornflakes. Well, I'm okay. This ain't uncommon. I challenge y'all on this Father's Day to get to know God as a father. I last year said, okay, I want to know you as a father. Ugh. Worst year of my Christianity ever. Because when I said that sincerely, what I wanted is a Papa Santa Claus Daddy. I got you. Come here, boy. I'm proud of you. He kind of did a reverse number on me. Said, I'm going to let you know what I feel. Being a father to a rebellious world, to hurting people, to an enemy that constantly is vying for their souls and minds. And I'm like, oh, no, not what I wanted. A lot of bad things happen. I did a sabbatical because I'm going to get spiritual. And 2 or 3 days into it, I developed, what do they call that? The shingles. That's fun. And then, of course, I can't get the regular shingles. I got to get a complication version where I get paralyzed on my side. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. And God started doing things. So the reason why I've struggled with him being a father is because of the father I had. My biological dad didn't claim me as his kid. He was a drug dealer and a pimp. The night he got my mom pregnant, he shoved rosary beads down her throat and put a pistol to her head. And he said, that ain't my kid, when he found out she was pregnant. I always struggled. My mother married 6 times. I went to 14 schools, lived in 17 different houses. I started drugs in the 6th grade. And I was a little hurting unit and trying to figure it out. My biggest struggle is I didn't know who I was. I couldn't figure out why I was. So therefore, because of an unstable environment growing up, my mother, who I honor to this day, she's in her 80s, and I'm allowed to tell the truth. But I still honor her. My mother made very poor choices because of her loneliness and not truly understanding her identity. And she married a pedophile. I was horribly abused as a kid, including what bad people often do to children to make them not talk. Fear of death. I've been electrocuted as a kid. Shoved in a underwater in a tub till I passed out, only to wake up to him resuscitating me on a cold, wet bathroom floor and him saying this, boy, don't you ever forget, I'm the one that gives you life. You saw in the video the gun disarm. That's what I'm best known for on social media. I hold the world record for it to this day. When somebody holds a pistol in my head with the hammer back and their finger on the trigger, from my hands down, I can snatch the weapon, point it back at them, and have the magazine out in 8/10 of a second. I decided to do it with two weapons so nobody could beat my record. And God has used it in tremendous ways, I can't even begin to tell you. But very few people ask me, why? Why did you get that fast? In the Sean Ryan show, he asked me, and I said, Sean, that's the right question. Nobody ever really asked me. I said, when I was 7 years old, my stepfather put me in a chair, pulled out his revolver, pulled the hammer back. With his finger on the trigger, he put it to the side of my head, and he would tap it. He said, boy, if you ever tell anybody what I've done to you, I'm going to blow your brains out. Then I'm going to tell the police you shot yourself. It wasn't long after that, because of my age and the instability of his relationship with my mom, that he had me shoot and kill a man, and I watched him bury him. He wrapped a pistol. As I'm pointing the pistol in the back of the guy's head, I'm 7, and I'm scared to death. But those of who've been abused consistently, you realize, people go, well, you didn't have to. Yeah, you haven't been in a horrific, wicked conditioning. I couldn't pull the trigger, so he put his hand on my wrist, and he put his finger over mine, and he pushed, and I pulled. And the guy was shot and killed. Then he wrapped the pistol in a handkerchief. He said, boy, if you ever tell anybody what I've done, I know where this body is, and this is the weapon that killed him, and your fingerprints are on it. And you don't like being electrocuted, but the police will arrest you, and you will go to the electric chair. These are lies that I call lies based in reality, and they are the hardest ones to get past. Satan is known as the father of lies, not even the father of evil. The battle, my friends, is in your brain. That's the battlefield. And that's why we lose so much, because we don't even do the basics of what the scripture says. Take every thought captive. Take every thought captive, bring it into the obedience of Christ Jesus. Instead, we just take all these thoughts from our past, our current, our fears, our worries, drives people to anxiety, and all of a sudden, we're not living a very victorious life because of the father of lies. Well, I end up having to have 123 visits to a trauma specialist to get my brain that was all scrambled up working. Psychiatrist, I've been put on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar. Again, I started doing drugs in the 6th grade. And I never forget trying to just feel better, keeping everything compressed. But there comes a certain time in a person's life when you're pressing down stuff you don't want to come to the top. It's like holding a beach ball on the water. But when a wave hits, boom, it pops up. And all these coping mechanisms stop serving you well. And then it becomes a very sad, very challenging, unhealthy life. For me, I found that organization that would take me in, give me food to eat, place to sleep, and a weapon. It was the United States Marine Corps. And like, boy, you kind of messed up, aren't you? Yes, sir. They're like, come on in. So now that I served on the Reagan, post-Vietnam. They needed people, so they took me in. But I learned to put my anger in that and in fighting and get trained for it. And God will redeem even the worst for the best, because in the last 10 years of our life, we've ever had over 140 missions in the most austere environments, Iraq, Syria, Northern Africa, Southeast Asia, from Mexico all the way down to Colombia, to reach people for Christ, to help children, women who've been traumatized. As a missionary, it was a special operations community that called me. They're like, "You're a what?" As I was down on Coronado Island with the SEAL teams, they're like, "We used to watch you go into Mosul for fighting, and we couldn't even go in there because we didn't have access. But there you are, taking a team." They would go, "What in the, what are they doing?" And we'd bring milk in, water. I was called the milkman of Mosul for a while, but we're also sneaking kids out. And it wasn't the special operations community that gave me pushback. You know what it was? Christian church. Of all people, even churches I used to speak at, now when they see me doing this, I'd have the super saints come up to me and go, "Were you holding an AK in a video or a picture?" I'm like, "Probably." And they're like, "You're supposed to be a missionary representing God. Missionaries don't carry weapons. What do you have to say for yourself?" I go, "I'm not a good one. I'm okay with that title. I'm not a very good missionary, but I'm a hell of a rescuer. I get stuff done." I had people tell me, "Well, how many of them Muslims are you leading to Christ?" I said, "I'm not really good at that either." "Like, you have to preach the gospel over there." I said, yeah, I can see that. Actually, I've been reduced to living it. But you, sir, seem very spiritual." So, flying to Baghdad, I'll have a team pick you up, and I know some very target-rich environments with Muslims. Actually, ISIS. And we'd love to see how you evangelize them. No one ever took me up on that one. I'm like, "You a thinned out a Christian. Talk, talk, talk. You hadn't been shot at. You hadn't held dead and dying people. You haven't looked at your wife and said, 'Are you ready? Are you prepared to become a widow for the cause of Christ? Because if I go out there, it's a bad area.'" And I have my wife look at me and go, "How long are we on the earth for anyway, Victor? Go get it." "But sign these papers first. Here, and here, and here." I'm like, "Let me get my glasses." "You don't need them. Just sign right here." "You know, my bride, the very first pump in Iraq with the team, it was her doing. She's pushed me in the back. And I'm like, 'Babe, I just got out of Burma jungles. I still got the mosquito fever.' I'm like, 'I need a break.' She's like, 'There are 30 girls that have been kidnapped by ISIS. Your team needs to find them and help them and all this kind of stuff.' I'm like, 'Oh.' I said, 'You get other ministries to do this.' And she tried. Nobody wanted to go into ISIS territory. So she's like, 'You're up.' Which made me mad. And then later, because I put a good team together, she goes, I've been praying and the Lord show me I'm supposed to go with you.' I'm like, 'No, he didn't. Are you out of your mind?' And I put a good team together. I got former Delta operators, I'm SEAL team, Marines, you know. And my wife wants to go. And I forget them telling me, "Not a chance. Not a chance. You don't bring your wife into a combat area." I go, you don't know my wife. And I remember us arguing, and I just said, why? Why do you want to go? She goes, well, you'll find those girls. They've been horribly raped, used, sex slaves. She goes, you'll find them. She goes, I know you'll find them. I was like, you better believe I'm going to find them. And she says, but you can't hug them. And they'll need hugging. And I said, you're willing to risk your life to hug girls? And that's when she said again, she goes, what's the worst that can happen? We die? I'm like, yeah, yes, die, as in death, die. And you know what her answer was? Well, then don't we win, Victor? Don't we win? I was just like, well, okay, babe. Man, that's radical. Now we've helped over 45,000 women and children in that region. We have a task force here in the U.S. that we just started protecting children's innocence. We work by, through, and with law enforcement to hunt pedophiles and protect children. And I'm telling you, it's bad. It's far worse than what any of you can imagine. I'll give you a snapshot. On average, every day, over 290,000 videos and images of children being horribly abused sexually are being transferred. That's one sector of the internet. That's not all of it. A day. Law enforcement can't even. Every once in a while, you'll see some stuff. It's beyond what you can think. So God called us to step in and help, equip, train, fund, because children should be protected. Yeah. I've had people in other organizations say stuff. And how I judge success on another organization is how many times the founder has been trying to be killed. I asked him, really, how many times? They're like, none. I'm like, oh, well, you're not disrupting them enough because somebody tried to kill me at my house. At my house, in a trailer on our property, when I walked by, shot through the window. I paused, I looked up, boom, 2 inches from my head. That was the first round. Boy, Drew got off. Holy Spirit said, don't shoot him. So I moved to a different location. This one? Wait. He was arrested, second-degree attempted murder, 5.5-hour standoff. Folks, what are you afraid of to serve Christ? Know God as a father. Enjoy the adventure. Be who he made you to be. Run in your lane, not my lane. People are like, man, I want to go with you. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I've seen my wife in the back of an armored vehicle in Iraq, 120-something degrees, and you can't drink enough bottled water. There are people, I was just at Fort Bragg this week, praying with the commanding officer of Delta. God's saving a lot of special operations people. Trust me, it's beyond what you, which tells me America needs special operations, born-again believers, spirit-filled, because America's not in a good place. How many of you are shocked that Iran got popped? We never thought we'd see that, did we? I did a year ago, because I'm getting intel briefs. I'm like, oh, stuff's going to happen. This isn't a time to be afraid. It's a time to be motivated. I mean, Christians of all people, what's the worst? We die? We're going to die anyway. So let's live. Let's truly live with the prayer of God in you. And go, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Well, first, be a good wife. And you, be a good dad. and a husband. Be a better businessman. Quit lying. You don't need to look at them websites. Have a little self-control. Men, do not let the enemy of your flesh, pornography, make you weak as a leper. Me and my wife, we go to the porn convention. Let me rephrase that. Okay, that didn't sound right. Okay. My wife and I feel called to go to the National Porn Convention in order to reach people that are caught in darkness. I mean, we've had a booth there, our dogs, videos playing, handing out my testimony book, and we reach the workers. We reach the people in the industry. And, oh my gosh, we've seen so much fruit of that. It's unbelievable. But I remember somebody saying, how can you as a Christian man, like, go there? I go, this is supposed to turn me on? Seriously? Really? These are lost, hurting girls. I love these girls. Man, they just, they didn't see the Lord in my eyes looking at them. Not that, not that, not that, not that. Right in their eyes. You know how many girls I've said, you're beautiful. And they go, thanks. I go, no. Hey, look in my eyes. You, not this, you, you're beautiful. God loves you. Look, and they're looking in my eyes. I go, am I lying? Their eyes start to water. And they go, no. It's because that's how God sees you. Beautiful, pure, made for so much more than this. Men, porn should not be no kryptonite. And ladies, love your man. Love your man. Don't make him susceptible to any of that. I'll come back and do an intimacy class with y'all. Well, I'm going to close by this. The greatest weapon I've ever used, my wife, too, but I mean, speaking of, I say I've never cheated. We came back from a mission in Iraq. It was last one that we did, rescued a girl who had been held captive for 9 years. She was kidnapped as a teenager by ISIS, used as a sex slave. Her family thought she was dead. Our intel team and network said she's alive. She's in ISIS territory. She's had 2 children by ISIS fighter. And they're like, I got the call, boss. We got a green light. It's set. We planned it for 6 months. I was like, ugh. I just got back from Israel. I was in Gaza. I'm tired. My bride's like, oh, you're going. And then he says, we need a female for the op to make first point of contact. My wife goes, that's me. I said, all right. We're there the night of the operation. I look at my bride and I go, I kind of laughed. I go, I can't. The life we've lived all over the world, the most dangerous places. And still our biggest enemy was the devil, not even terrorists. But that night I asked her, I said, do you mind if I just film you getting ready with your kid? She goes, that's weird. I go, I know. But we're not going to do this forever. She goes, okay. I watched my wife put on a belly band with a pistol, 2 mags, custom blade, close it up, low profile body armor, a jacket on. Then she grabs a frag grenade. Puts it in a lipstick thing, puts it in her coat. She got sweet looking boots on. And she grabs a backpack, puts a tomahawk, night vision, cash. She's just getting all loaded up. Grabs her AK, racks around, checks it. And I'm standing like this. So, babe, I don't know whether to be terrified or turned on. but I can tell you which way I'm leaning. Like, can we delay this a little bit? She's like, stay focused. I am focused, trust me. Later that night, we had the girl and her two boys in our safe house. We got to hear the conversation of her calling her family because we never told them we were going for it. The operation was so difficult. It was a cross between like a Jason Bourne movie and Ocean's 11. It was, we hear her talking to her brother. And he goes, is this really you? Is this really you? 9 years. She said, yeah. She told him about their childhood. And then he's like, where are you? She goes, I don't know. It's night. And he goes, who are you with? She said, I don't, they're Christians from America. That's all I know. And that's all she ever knew. God is able to do above and beyond every thought, ask, think. This town, this church, I'm going to just tell you, pastor's wife told me that they had a vision to build a little building for special needs, and y'all got it paid for like that? I'm like, that's the heart of God. That's people that know this is right. This ain't normal. Churches don't do this. Churches base their programs on how much money they can bring in, not who they can help. I turn money down. If it's not from the Lord, I'm like, mm-mm. And we need funding, but it's going to be from the Lord. Not so somebody can try to control us. I've been asked to speak and do things and offered lots of money, and I tell people, you cannot buy me. I mean, I can be rented, but you, how much was that again? Okay. All right, I got to close with this. My biological dad became my best friend. I don't like crying, but he's a man tears, full testosterone. You don't want to grow hair. The chest. Listen, it was my biological dad that came back into my life as a Marine. And he sent a letter, and I still have the letter. He said, boy, I know you think I'm crazy. Because he had spent time in a mental hospital. The same mental hospital my grandfather died in. So you worry about your background, your lineage, generational curses. Trust me, the power of God can break anything. Anything. All I used to hear is you're going to be like your daddy. I'm like, never met him. He said, come visit me. And I did. I left to leave from the Marine Corps camp, and he invited me to some church because he said, I'm crazy, but I'm crazy for Jesus Christ. It was June 22nd, 1986, that I just heard a simple message that God loved me. And I felt convicted of my sin. I stopped blaming people. I'll tell you honestly, that's the day I became a man. I didn't become a man from fighting, drinking, or chasing skirt. I became a man when I nailed my heart to God and found my identity for who He really wanted to make me. And that was an abused kid who'd suffered and been locked in a commercial cooler to die. Now, trusting God with all my life. And it wasn't a big transaction because I had nothing to offer Him. And let me tell you, when you give your life to Christ, it's not about perfection, folks. It's just about direction. I remember coming forward. I was weeping. I could feel God loving me. Just love. I never felt love. And an elder came up to me you know, praying out or whatever. And he put his hand on me. I jumped up, turned around, I grabbed him, touched my guy. I said, "Oh, broke your nose." And I'm like, my dad had come, my biological dad had come, he'd sit on the front row. He goes, "I know the boy, he'll hit you." He's like, "Let God, dude, let God." I think the guy was like, "Okay, fasting and prayer." I never saw that guy again. I'm sure I'll see him in heaven. I go, "Hey, sorry about that." Now, my dad became my best man at my wedding, and God restored us. Satan wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy relationships. But the hardest thing I ever did in my life, the hardest thing, was forgive my stepfather who abused me. Later in life, when I was working for Focus on the Family, as an assistant to Dr. James Dobson, traveling on his behalf, I traveled through the town where we used to live. And you know, you're good about compartmentalizing things. I didn't even, and the Holy Spirit said, "Go to the house that you lived in." And it terrified me. My stepfather had been arrested, put in prison. He escaped prison. He was on the nightly news with Tom Brokaw. They never caught him because he fled the country. He ended up turning himself in. Years later, did his time. But God told me, "Go to that house." I knocked on the door of that house, scared to death, not knowing what's going to come out. And it was just an older lady, a sweet. "Oh, why?" She goes, "Can I help you?" I said, "Ma'am, it's going to sound weird. I used to live here." She said, "Who's your daddy?" And I told her. She goes, "I bought this house from him 30 years ago. And I'm standing there. I'm sure she's seeing the blood draining. And she goes, "Bad things happened to y'all, didn't it?" Because it wasn't just me that suffered. My mother, my siblings. I say, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "I want to show you something. You want to come in?" And I was scared, but I said, "Yes, ma'am." Stepped in that kitchen. She went to the bedroom, came out. She had a box. She said, "When I bought this house, we knew your kids, your family had to flee. So we donated all your stuff to Goodwill." But she goes, "I kept this." And she pulled out a picture of me and my siblings. I said, "Why do you have that?" She goes, "I've prayed for you all these years." I'm like, 30-something years? You've been praying for me? I said, "Well, God kept you alive so I could come tell you it worked." And then the Lord said, "Go find him." And I did. I found him on a river in a little trailer. And I knocked, he opened the door, he was stunned. And he tried to intimidate me. Because I wasn't no kid no more, I was a full grown man. And I said, "That ain't gonna work." You know, the Lord softened my heart and said, "You gotta forgive him." I said, "I can't." He goes, "I know you can't. You can through me." I said, "He doesn't deserve forgiveness. What he done to me?" And the Lord gently, just as a father, "But neither did you." But that's why I died on the cross. I get here. I said, "And you know what? I took that man to the hospital not long after that he was dying. And every day I'd walk in the hospital and read scripture to him. And one day, it was the last day I went in, because we woke up at 4 o'clock that morning and I was praying for him to get saved. God totally changed my heart. I gave up my right to hurt him back for hurting me. Walked into the hospital room and he goes, "Nurse, this is my son. And this is my stepfather who abused me. But I thought he was my real father, who It wasn't until later I figured all that out. He goes, I'm proud of him. And I'm just standing on the Bible going, he goes, he became kind of like a preacher. Which is very accurate. Kind of. And he goes, he's been worried about my eternity, but he don't have to worry anymore. I made it right with God last night. The nurse backed out of the room, and I was like, wow, now I know why. Now I know why you brought me back. And I said, Lord, I'm done. My mission's complete. And I said, what do you want me to say to him? What's the last thing you want to say to him? Holy Spirit goes, tell him you love him. I got close to the bed, and I said, Dad, I love you. And he looked at me for the first time ever in my life. And he goes, boy, I love you too. I can't tell you how strange it felt, but good to just hear those words. And I knew my time was done. He got set free, but so did I. And there was nothing left to do except grab a pillow. What's going on? What kind of church is this? Lift his neck up and put it, fluff it. I mean, if you're dying, you don't want to die with a big old stiff neck. Ain't enough morphine to get that out. Forgive and be forgiven. Know your identity. The only one I can tell you who you really are is God the Father. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you did. Thank you. You're our perfect example of a father. And those of us who fell and struggle, thank you for giving us the strength to get back up. Lord, help us as men to fight the good fight. Help us to see there's a battle every day, but we can win. We can have victories over the wicked one, over our flesh, and over this world. God, help us to love our wives the way they need to be loved, not what we want. Help us to be the dads that our kids need at whatever age in their life. So, Lord, thank you for the cross and all that it means. And thank you for being the best dad ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on. Are you inspired? Are you inspired? That's a question. Are you motivated? You know, so we were just talking before, and just made, both of us made the same comment, is that you've got to find your lane, and then you got to run in it. But we need to run in our lane that God's called us to run in with the same intensity that Victor and Eileen have run in theirs. So he's not trying to get us to go out and rescue kids, although if you're called to it, you should be doing it. But whatever it is you're called to do, we are to do it with all of our might, all of our heart, but for the glory of God. Amen? If we'll all run in our lanes together, we'll advance the kingdom down the field in our time. Amen? I want to just give up one more time for Victor, Eileen, their family. Great to have the whole family. Great to have you out. They're going to head out. Listen, we got a place to be here in a little bit. I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in the first service to reach out to my dad today, and it's something I need to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm telling you because I want you to hold me accountable. Okay? It's not always easy, but I'll do it. And maybe somebody here needs to reach out to their dad too, or at least forgive and release whatever has bound you to some past things. Man, I got to tell you, I've never been more proud of a church than I am right now as I stand with you and see you both services coming out and just loving and supporting someone who's doing some things that are on the edge. And praise God for people who are willing to live on the edge. Amen. To live the great adventure, as we call it. So we're gonna be dismissed. We're not gonna do a song on the way out. You're dismissed to go, and actually you're not dismissed. You're commissioned to go and make a difference. I'm not dismissing you. I'm commissioning you to go and make a difference this week. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, seal what has been sown into us today. We receive and welcome both Victor and Eileen and their family, the message. Their life is their message, not just words, but a life has been lived and laid down for the gospel and for others. And we thank you for that. Bless them, encourage them, cover them. I know they're willing to die, but we don't want them to go too soon. We want, Lord, much fruit to continue to happen from this ministry. So we pray over them, covering and protection. But also we trust you, Father. And Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, don't ever let us be the same. Don't let us default back into silliness and procrastination and distraction and immaturity, Lord. May we take what we've heard and what we've learned and move to the next level. And we'll do it for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week on purpose.